Good evening, this is Peter Hammond in the studio interviewing Reverend Stephen Croft from the United States of America. Pastor Croft, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, Dr.
Hammond. It's a joy. Can you tell us something about your background?
Yes.
And what leads you to come all the way here to South Africa, to Cape Town?
Well, I love South Africa. This would be my second home if it was possible, Doctor. I've been to South Africa 5 times. This is my 5th trip, and thanks to you and your precious staff, I've been able to just attend your Bible Worldview Summit. My background, I'm 75 years old, live in New Jersey, grew up in New York City, been married to Mrs. Edith Kraft since 1978. We got married June 18, 1978. I grew up in the Black Baptist Church, but I came of age in the 60s. I had a lot of hatred in my heart. I had literal souls in my heart as a result of the old Jim Crow era. And as a result, I had a hatred, a bitterness, and a spirit of unforgiveness in me toward Caucasians because Satan had me believing that they were my problem. That was a lie, but I believed it anyway. And as a result, when I got drafted into the Army, because back in the 60s, they had the Selective Service, so my number came up 1A. I went into service. I went into basic training in Fort Dix, New Jersey, then went into AIT, Fort Dix, New Jersey, and because at that time in the public schools, they had touch typing, so you learned how to type. So once they found out that I knew how to type, they sent me down to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, 557 Combat Engineers, and I was the company clerk for the E-9 there. Did 2 years. Came back full of anger, full of hate, having grown up in a Black Baptist church, Doctor, but I was lost in the house. If I had died in the 60s, I'd have busted hell wide open. As a result, when I came back, I went to the Bronx. I got with my first cousin, Jimmy Van Dyne. We had a nickname for him, which was Jimmy the Weasel. And the reason why we called him Jimmy the Weasel was because he was a junkie, and at the same time, he was also a burglar. He taught me the burglary game. He used to mock me because I was from New Jersey, and he would say, oh, you're the country boy from the wrong side of the Hudson River. If you want to hang out with me, because I was he was my first cousin. He says, you got to learn how to dig yourself. Well, I dig myself. Well, what's that mean? He would be so city slick that he'd be under the influence of heroin. He'd get on the subway, put on dark shades, put a newspaper in front of him. He'd be on the nod, but it looked like he wasn't high.
That's how you dig yourself.
That's how you dig yourself.
You dig yourself a grave.
His thing was, you never let nobody know you're high. You always got to look like you're sober, even when you're torn out. So I had to learn how to dig myself, because I would be high. I'd be on the subway. My head would be between my knees. He says, no, that's unacceptable. Yeah. So once I started using heroin, he started me off snorting, drinking Gypsy Rose wine, and smoking reefer. That went then to skin popping heroin. That went then to mainline heroin. By that time, I was strung out. Then he said, okay, now it's time for you to start doing burglaries. You know, I've mentored you in the things of drug addiction and burglary. Now it's time for you to take care of Big Cuz. So as a result, this went on for a while. I remember one time we went and somebody threw the window up the fire escape into somebody's apartment, not knowing that somebody in another apartment saw us go through the window. And it's a Spanish neighborhood, the South Bronx. They in Spanish said something in Spanish. The owner of the apartment, the tenant, was a cop. He came up. We're coming out of his front door on the 6th floor with his belongings. He meets us at the front door with his service revolver pointed straight at my head. Pistol with me, took me to the Tombs, and then Rikers Island locked me up. You would have thought that that would have been the end of my run. It wasn't. Next time, I went to jail, did 30 days for breaking and entering, got out. Kept shooting dope. Then one night, God says, it's time for a crisis. Me and Jimmy went into a shooting gallery. Shooting galleries are places where you buy narcotics, buy gimmicks, that's the works, and shoot up.
So you're talking about mainlining and
mainlining, yes.
So you're not shooting with a pistol, you shoot with injections.
Exactly. Intravenous shooting. When they say shooting dope, they're talking about mainlining heroin and cocaine. So what happened was, we got up in the shooting gallery. Jimmy shot up and dropped dead in the shooting gallery. They took his body up on the roof, 13 stories, threw him off the roof. That should have caught my attention, but it didn't. The devil then lied to me and says, Jimmy the Weasel, your cousin is dead. You want to get your act together, you better leave New York and go west, young man. Go west where you can turn your life around and get your act together. Well, that was a lie too, but I believed it. I left New York City. went up 3,000 miles west to L.A., got over there, stayed straight for maybe 3 days after coming down a kicking withdrawal, started shooting dope again. This time, instead of shooting white China smack in New York, I was shooting brown Mexican smack in Los Angeles. God says, okay, I'm going to take you now. I'm going to take you to the woodshed again because I called you to preach before I put you in that line craft's womb. You will preach my gospel. Satan was dogging me all the way to kill me. But now, looking back in retrospect, these many years hence, I see that God had his hand on me, doctor. I got out there in Los Angeles. There's a beach called Venice Beach where a lot of hippies hang out right outside of Los Angeles. Got on that beach. Somebody gave me a pinch bottle of rum, 100-proof rum. Somebody else then gave me a joint of angel dust. And then somebody gave me a bag of cocaine and heroin. And I speedballed that, shot that, drank the pinch bottle of alcohol, and smoked the angel dust. And I blacked out. I don't know what happened. All I know is when I came out of that blackout, I was no longer on Venice Beach. I was in Camarillo State Hospital for the insane. Buck naked in a straitjacket. That woke me up. They kept me, the Lord would not let me be released from there for a week. When I got released, I said, I'm done. I signed up for Teen Challenge, David Wilkerson's program. I got in there. I stayed in there 2 years, and the Lord cleans me from
me. Is this New York or is this in LA?
No, this was in New York. I came back east because I knew if I stayed in Los Angeles, I was going to fall again. Yeah. I went back to the East Coast, got in Teen Challenge in Brooklyn.
Did you know about Teen Challenge?
Yeah, I knew about it, but I had no intention because the streets, which you probably already know, are addictive.
But you knew where to go when I knew where to go. Got to the end of yourself.
Right, in Brooklyn, right. I went there, got in Teen Challenge, stayed there for 2 years, cleaned up because I cleaned up from the inside out. I realized that my problem was spiritual, first and foremost. Addiction is witchcraft. Addiction at its root is a spiritual problem. But staying in Teen Challenge in Brooklyn for 2 years and getting the word of God pumped into me, getting a work ethic pumped into me, living right there in a place where I'm constantly exposed to the word of God 24/7, 365. That turned my life around. As a result, I met my wife. We got married in 1978. I did miscellaneous jobs, worked as a cab driver for a while, worked as a custodian for a while. Then God says, prepare yourself now for full-time ministry. So I went into Central Bible College. We moved to Missouri, to Jeff City, Missouri. Went to Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. Got my BA in Bible and with a minor in pastoral counseling. Then I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready now to go forth. He said, no, you're an evangelist. Now I'm sending you to Harvard Divinity School. And people laughed at me. They said, Harvard, you're a conservative. They'll steal your faith. And I said, no, because by this time I was rooted and grounded in the word. Went to Harvard Divinity School, Cambridge, Massachusetts, did a 3-year Master of Divinity, and it was rough. It was rough. I mean, there was literal homosexuals and lesbians getting PhDs and THDs and MDivs in theology. And the courses that they loved more than any was religion and society.
Now, obviously, these people weren't saved.
No.
They didn't know the Lord.
No.
Why would they be wanting to get Masters in Divinity and Theological Degrees?
Indoctrination. Because they now control most of not only your mainline denominations, but now they've also attempted and into the conservative denominations. A problem.
Are you saying that some people are infiltrating the church deliberately, knowingly, with the intention of subverting its central tenets?
That's exactly what I'm saying, but they don't believe it's subversion. They believe it's the right way to go.
And they might call it liberation.
Exactly. That is what's going on. And one of the most popular courses now in a lot of these, even when you go to secular universities that have departments of religion, the most popular course is liberation theology, which is nothing but Marxism with a code of religiosity.
In fact, there's no theology because it's not about God, and there's no liberation because it actually leads to socialist oppression.
Exactly. And what it is, it's really the gospel, the social action gospel. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And of course, you're talking about gospel with a small g there.
Right, exactly.
Not
exactly.
The gospel, capital G.
Exactly. And that's what we are seeing even today with a lot of so-called evangelical ministers. They are beginning more to put more emphasis on Matthew 25 ministries, mm-hmm. which obviously are necessary, but they're putting more emphasis on those ministries, Matthew 25, and they are the ones that are receiving more support than those of us that are saying, no, we have to feed the body and clothe the naked and house the homeless and visit the prisoners. That's true. God tells us that. He sets his sheep on the right hand. But at the same time, that cannot be primary. The primary thing was Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. We got to put that first, and then with good works, do Matthew 25. So as a result, once I came out of Harvard Divinity School with that MDiv, graduated in class in 96, I got assigned back to Missouri, Jeff City, to be the chaplain for the Missouri at the Missouri State Penitentiary, which was called at that time Jeff City Correctional Center, maximum security prison. I worked there for 7 years. Then right after 9/11, the year 2002, 9/11 was 2001, a year later, my wife and I, we had our first child. He's 38 now. We had to move back to New Jersey because my mother and my father both developed Alzheimer's. So we had to get them squared away, get them taken care of, and we've been back ever since. So now what I do a lot of motivational speaking. I do a lot of, every time I can get into high school or middle school, I do talks on alcohol and drug prevention. I do a lot of talks on race issues and crime, always from a biblical perspective. That's why I love the material that you put out, especially on these hot button issues like crime, like alcohol and drugs. These things are so very important because people are not looking at these issues from a biblical perspective, Doctor.
Right. Now, to someone who's listening to us right now, who might be on drugs or have a relative or good friend who's on drugs, what advice would you give them?
The first thing I would say, and I would say wisdom from heaven. I would tell them the first thing they've got to do is they've got to repent. If they don't know what that means, I would explain it to them in lay language. They've got to not do a 360 because they'd be right back where they started, but a 180. Then I would tell them that once they're detoxed, go to the hospital, take a 5-day detox, but they're not clean. They'll be detoxed physically, but drug addiction is a spirit. It's a spirit of pharmakia, a spirit of sorcery. I would then do everything in my power to get them in a teen challenge center and tell them that they have to really be determined that they're going to win this thing. And then one of the things I do, because I believe in visuals, I have a disc with a before and after picture of me. A before picture when I was in my 30s shooting dope and I looked like hell warmed over, tore from the floor. And then I have on the other side of the frame my picture of my wife and I at my graduation from Harvard Divinity School with my master's gown on, talking to my favorite professor who was a liberal himself. And I know you heard of Harvey Cox. He's a rascal, but everybody knows about Harvey Cox, especially the book he wrote in the 60s, The Secular City. But he loved me. Every time he'd have a seminar, he wouldn't have any more than 25 people. He said, I got to get Reverend Crafts. Reverend Crafts going to keep it. Reverend Crafts going to stand up hot. And some of his seminars would get so heated with the liberals. I was the only black American conservative in some of his seminars. I remember one seminar, a lesbian on one side of it was so incensed at my remarks that she ran around the table and grabbed me in my shirt. Literally grabbed me in my shirt. And it took everything I could, Doctor, to restrain myself. I says, ma'am, please take your hands off of me. You know, but she was livid. She was livid. But yes, I love every opportunity that I can get. And I see even with this work here that I had the privilege of writing a foreword to. Now that with all of the good spiritual meat and ammunition that I've received from you, I am going to go out and I'm going to spread this far and wide for every door that opens.
Now, quite a few of our people would have heard of Teen Challenge, or at least they've heard of The Cross and the Switchblade, yeah. Nicky Cruz, Run Baby Run, David Wilkerson. In fact, I had the privilege of hearing David Wilkerson visiting South Africa before. And you must have met him.
Yes.
And heard him minister.
Yes.
So perhaps you can give some insight to those people who might have known something of the story, because this was the real deal.
Yes.
I mean, Teen Challenge really had a major success rate,
yes,
which others did not have.
80%
of getting people out,
yes,
of drugs.
And without a relapse rate. Yes. David Wilkerson, as a farm boy from the backwoods in Pennsylvania, small hick town in Pennsylvania, had the burden on his heart to minister to the gangs in New York City, in the borough of Brooklyn. He came to Brooklyn. He met the gang leader in a Puerto Rican gang called Nicky Cruz. And he started preaching to Nicky Cruz. And Nicky Cruz at one time told him, if you say another word about your Jesus, white boy, I will slice you, I will shank you. And Nick and David looked at him and says, Nicky, I love you. I will always love you. And even if you cut me up into 1,000 pieces, Jesus Christ loves you and he died for your sins and rose from the dead. And it broke Nicky. Nicky got saved. Nicky still preaches. Nicky is an international evangelist to this day. David Wilkerson went to meet the Lord in 2011. He built a beautiful church. Next time you come to New York, you got to go to Times Square Church if you haven't been there. It is the beacon of light in the heart of Times Square, Broadway and 51st.
And they're still bringing people out of drugs.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The assistant pastor at the time that David Wilkerson was founding pastor is Carter Collin, who was from Canada. Carter Collin, I don't know exactly how he met David Wilkerson years ago, but he was a cop in Canada. And some way he ended up in New York City sitting under David Wilkerson. And Times Square Church is a large church. And I mean, you go there every Sunday. They run 3 services. They run a 10 o'clock. They run a 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They run a 6 o'clock at night. They have a serious prayer meeting every day, Monday through Friday, I believe it is, at 12 to 1 on Broadway. The church sits on Broadway, between Broadway and 7th Avenue on 51st. And you see every just culture in the world coming there. And when you go in, it was an old, exquisite theater that God was able to purchase, that he was able to purchase from the city of New York. And they've been there ever since. And it is a true light in the heart of Times Square. In fact, they did a revival right in Times Square where the ball drops every year. You might have heard about that. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Outstanding. Yeah. So, anyone who doesn't know the story of Nicky Cruz, Run Baby Run, and David Wilkerson, Cross the Switchblade, get the books, look up, see the film, get to Test Me. And if you know people who are caught up in drugs, contact Google Team Challenge and get help there. Right. Now, as someone who's been in crime, what would you say to somebody who's in a life of crime and thinks, you know, only a fool doesn't take what he can when he's got the opportunity? And, you know, many of the people in crime think they're really smart. And this is the way to get rich quick.
Well, see, that's the whole plan and plot of the subtle one, the devil. People are addicted to crime. People are addicted to the streets. People are addicted to narcotics, just like they're addicted to sex, food, or anything else. Crime is an addiction, and crime is a spirit. The Bible tells you the root of crime is sin. And I believe it's in Mark chapter 7, I believe it is, where Jesus gives a short laundry list of these sins. Murder's in there. There's about 3 or 4 different sins in that list when he says, what goes into a man does not defile a man, but what comes out of the man comes out of his heart and defiles a man. And he gives this list of these crimes. Crime, again, all of these serious social issues, doctor, problems that we're facing, sin is the root. That's why I love the prophet John the Baptist. When John the Baptist told those people, he says, bring fruit worthy of repentance, because the spiritual acts had to be laid at the root of the tree, and the root of the tree is sin.
Amen. So, as somebody who's done some serious crime and done some time, what did you say to a person who's in it right now?
That's evidently they're unregenerate, they're lost, and if they're involved in crime, the first thing I would say to them is simply this. Let us agree on one thing, sir, or ma'am, whoever it is, that we're here for a time and we're going to die. No debate there. Okay? Where do you think you're going to go when you die? Well, I don't believe there's heaven and hell. Hell is right here on earth. That's not what Jesus Christ says. Well, I don't believe in Jesus. But are you willing to take that chance? Are you willing to die to find out if there is a heaven or hell? Because everything that you see around you, God has given you the grace to see goodness in this present world, but also he's given you also the opportunity to see evil. I says, well, I don't believe there's an afterlife. I had this conversation not too long ago with somebody. I said, you don't believe in the afterlife. You don't believe there's a life after this one. No, I don't believe that. You gotta get on. So then I says, where'd you come from? He said, what do you mean? I can't answer my question. Because I'm like you. I believe in questions. Where'd you come from? I came out of my mama's belly. I says, right. I says, unless you were born preemie, you were in your mother's womb 9 months. I says, that was your world for 9 months. I says, now, do you remember anything about that world? No, but you're not going to deny you wasn't there, right? Right. So then you're admitting in the paradigm of time, there was a past, correct? Correct. So far, we're on the same page. I say, now, let's fast forward. It's obvious we're here in the present, so we're not going to even debate that. So you agree that there was a past, and your past life was in your mother's womb for 9 months, give or take. It's common sense that you're here now. Mm-hmm. Now, that means you're going to tell me that it doesn't follow that there's a future life, and yet you're afraid to take the chance? I says, I love the Lord. Even if I didn't know for sure that there was an afterlife, I still wouldn't be a Christian, because at least, even if Christianity was not true, even if the gospel was not true, at least I could say I lived an honest, upright life of integrity, not shooting drugs anymore, being responsible, taking care of family, being able to stay married to the same woman for 40 years. And even if there wasn't a hell, when I died, I wouldn't have lost a thing. I says, but now let's flip the script. Let's say there is a God and you die without God. I says, and you're going to go to hell. And you lived hell halfway on earth, then you will go to real hell where time ceased to exist forever. I said, so either way, I win, you lose.
That's a fact. Now, there are a lot of people who think that Christians are dopes and they're missing out and they're in the real life. Now, you've done crime, you've done drugs, and now you following the Lord. So from the perspective of a person of 75 years old who can look back over a long life by God's grace.
Correct.
What would you say? Who's missing out? Is the Christian missing out, or is the guy doing crime and drugs?
The true born-again believer isn't missing out on anything. And yet, I'll take it a step further. The best forever is yet to come. I love my life now at 75. People say, man, Reverend Kraft, man, you got some bounce in your step. I say, yeah, because I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I says, I love my life. I says, that's why every time I speak somewhere, I show the before and after pictures of me. When people look at those, wow, man. I says, yeah. I says, because there's the proof in the pudding right there.
So you're saying you haven't been tempted to go back to dope and crime?
No, that would not be accurate. In fact, that'd be a lie. That would be a lie.
There's no temptation.
Yeah. Exactly. But I can remember
because
time.
You know, yeah, exactly. What it was that God
exactly,
saved you from.
Exactly. And like the scriptures say, I think it's in 2 Peter or 1 Peter, the fool, after having been cleansed, decides to go back to his vomit. It's like a dog going back to his vomit. I says, that's sickening. I says, that's ridiculous. I says, and the pig that was cleaned up, then going back in the mud. Mm-hmm. I says, no, once you have tasted, if you really have tasted the goodness of the Lord, there and it, to show that you are born again, as John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit to show that you really, because if one is really born again, you're going to see change. There is no way that you're not going to see change. You know, well, you Christians are hypocrites. This one over here, he talking about he's saved, he doing this, he doing that, he doing it. I says, there's only two explanations for that. Either he never was saved, he might be religious, which is not the same thing, or he really does not know the word of God, or he's walking in the flesh. I says, and he's got to be delivered of whatever fleshly habits he's involved in. But I says, this idea of, you know, come as you are and stay as you are, that's a lie.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as you said earlier, that you really grappled with the whole issue of race. What's your feeling on, what's the biggest problem in the world? What do you think of the racism issue, and what do you think most important is the solution?
Well, the biggest problem in the world is sin. That's the root problem in the world, across the board. If we can get rid of sin, and that's not going to happen until we get to heaven. But as far as race goes, the race card is a major, that's why it has such a long shelf life. The shelf life of racism does not stop, because the Bible says man looketh on the outer appearance, but God looks on the heart. And everybody knows that racism is fueled by hatred and fear and pride. Those three things converge and come together. Hatred, fear, and pride. And that's three major demonic spirits working together. And that's the reason why the race card always works. I have never seen it yet not to work until a man is born again and a woman is born again. See? And then all of a sudden the scales come off our eyes. And we begin, wait a minute. We all came from one blood. Wait a minute. We were all created in his image. You didn't say the white man was created in his image and the black man wasn't, or the black man was created. No. This is my brother. And then I put a little spin on it from another mother, you know? And the people that receive me more than my own people are people of other cultures that have the same inner spirit and have the same spiritual father, doctor, and that I have, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's why when things come up and people say, you going over to South Africa to see who? Dr. Hammond. Man, don't you know, man, he's a white racist? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I tell the blacks, oh, Kraft, man, you Tomming again. Yeah. So stuff like that doesn't move me anymore, Doc. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. That's the reason why when I came to see you with this conference, I says, I'm going to bless my brother with this short booklet. And I'm going to see how I can partner with him, how he'll permit me to partner with him on both sides of the Atlantic. Now that we've met personally and follow his instructions. That's why when the emails I sent you said, I want to sit at you, under your feet. I want to sit at your feet for a week and just glean from you and see. So I'm going to start right with our camp, Camp Constitution.
Now, in your motto for Camp Constitution, you speak about honoring the past, teaching the present, preparing the future.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to give us a bit of that. Okay. Honoring the past, teaching the present, preparing for the future.
Okay, as far as honoring the past is, when we, the Bible, I think you saw the Bible that I have. Okay, American Patriots Bible. In that Bible, it has all kinds of commentary of how the United States of America was founded with Christian principles. But also, there was a mixture in there because some of the things that came in at the beginning didn't come from the Reformation, came from the Renaissance. So there was always a mixture in there. And then when in the early 70s, when Nixon decided to take us off the gold standard, and then inflation started to climb, because I can remember when I was younger, if you had a paper currency, a dollar bill in your pocket, there was a place called Fort Knox. And there was $1 worth of gold to back that dollar you had in your pocket.
Well, promissory notes.
Yeah.
Real money.
Exactly.
Real value.
Exactly. And he took that thing off of there. Well, this new world order, this globalization thing, this one world government thing's been going on since the book of Genesis with Nimrod. This stuff is not new. But most people don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. They think this stuff is right, it's good. So honoring the past takes us back in history, because when we don't know history, we're bound to repeat the same mistakes. So that's why Brother Howe got with me and got with others and started Camp Constitution. See, to begin to teach people the past of our coming. Then teaching the present. Well, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing now. But now I'm going to even add more in based on the things that I learned this week at BWS. I'm going to add even more, like the Bible quiz. I'm definitely going to add that in. I mean, the first day we did Bible quiz with you, and you said, lift your swords.
Bible
I like
drill.
That. Yeah. The Bible drill. Yeah. I love that. We don't do that at Camp Constitution. The Bible exam. We don't have that. We have a pre and post Constitution exam. We need that Bible exam in there, because the Bible exam is the foundation for the Constitution exam, not vice versa. See? And then preparing for the future. Well, that speaks for itself. As people begin to be discipled, there has to be a strong discipling. See, because Camp Constitution, Hal started that in 2009. And I've been with him on it as one of his speakers ever since. But I want to build now on the things that I've learned from you on the Bible aspect.
Now, is there a website, email, people who want to get in touch with you, access your material?
Yes, yes. The email, I'll sound it out phonetically. S as in Stephen, L as in Lewis, C as in Kraft, R as in Robert, A as in Apple, F as in Frank, T as in Tom, the number 1, at V as in Victor, E as in Edward, R as in Robert, I as in It, Z as in Zebra, O as in Ocean, N as in Nora.net. That's S L christiancraft1@verizon.net. And the website is www, obviously, christiancitizenshipministries.org. christiancitizenshipministries.org.
Reverend Croft, thank you so much for visiting. Thank you for being a blessing and a challenge and inspiration to all in our Biblical Worldview Summit. We'll have some of those contact details also available if anyone missed that. And, well, you can always rewind, go back. But we'll give you the contact details too if anyone has trouble getting hold of you. Or Team Challenge, which are great resources.
Yes, yes.
May God bless you as you minister later tonight and as you travel back to the United States and bless the people in New York State. And we thank you for all of your prayers, encouragement, and inspiration support for our work here in South Africa.
And thank you. I am honored, my brother, to have met you. I've been praying for some time, even talking to Jonathan Soaker. I says, I need to come and sit under his feet. And me and Jonathan will talk about it. And here I am. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Well, praise God for that. Let's give people a message of hope and help from the scriptures that they can get out of dope, crime, racism, whatever it is that the devil is using. Let's not let him keep us in a snare. The middle letter of sin is I. The real problem is I. Let's take it to the cross. Let's nail it to the cross. Let's see Christ set us free. And we set free to serve Christ.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.